one of the most commonly asked questions that we get in our message boxes is,
what program to start with?
Yeah. Like, which program should I start with? Now, for most people, the vast majority of people, we recommend MAPS Anabolic. It's the foundational program. And we recommend it because it brings you, it starts you off with full body type splits. It introduces you to the frequency concept of trigger sessions.
With MAPS Prime, though.
With MAPS Prime, because Prime helps correct imbalances and helps you prime your workout. So it just makes it that much more effective. Now, for the few times I do get messages from like competitors, like bodybuilders and bikini competitors and stuff who are stage presentation athletes who have lots of experience, great recovery ability, I'll recommend that they do MAPS Aesthetic. And there are times where I recommend people start in MAPS Performance, and this is usually people who are athletic-minded or who are, you know, performance-minded. Like, hey, you know, I actually just had a message the other day for someone who's going to go take a test for a police department. So he's like, which program should I do? I have, you know, three months to get ready. Definitely MAPS Performance. It's like the most performance-oriented MAPS program we have. But really, for most people, the ideal sequence is to start with MAPS Anabolic, which is you're going to get a lot of strength at a MAPS Anabolic and general muscle mass, general speed up your metabolism, like overall building comes from MAPS Anabolic. Then you go to MAPS Performance, which is how we progress you. And MAPS Performance is multiplanar movements. You're doing more complex exercises. You're doing mobility sessions. So you're working on control in these new ranges of motion. So you're basically becoming more, and I hate to use the term functional because that's been sold now so improperly lately, but you become a lot more functional with a lot more stamina, strength, endurance, power, all the things that an athlete would value. So you go to that. And then lastly, we tend to tell people to move to MAPS Aesthetic, which probably has the most volume, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it absolutely does. Each one of those programs, though, everybody will benefit from. So we don't think that there's a program. And same thing for, like, this is male and female. I get a lot of times, too, I get a lot of women that go, what's the program for me? Or I'm a woman. Like, what do you guys do for women?
And same thing.
Yeah, yeah, we absolutely refuse to market
there's
directly.
There's no discrimination here.
Yes. The weights do not know the difference of your sex. It doesn't work that way. The weights don't know if it's a male or a female lifting it. It responds to the movement and it builds muscle or it burns fat. It's that simple.
That's it.
And we just refuse to market to, you know, men and women separately. We'd sell a lot more programs that way if we did the whole thing and we did pink ones and blue ones.
Now that you're bringing this up, if you feel like you have metabolic damage or you feel like your metabolism is a little slow, either because you've been dieting a lot on your own or because you've come off of a competition and your metabolism is slow, definitely start MAPS Anabolic. That one gives your body time to recover and really builds up the metabolic system so that you burn more calories. That's the one I start everybody on who's got metabolic damage on. So all three of those programs, you can get them individually or you can do a bundle, which discounts them almost like it's like 20-something or 30% off. And that's our RGB bundle, which includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. Now, if you want to take it a step further, you can get those three plus include MAPS Prime, which we talked about, and MAPS Anywhere, which is our equipment-free MAPS program. That's our MAPS Super Bundle, and that discounts all of them even further. So those are the two bundles, discounts everything. If you follow them in order, you'll have at least 9 months all planned out for you, at least. With the Super Bundle, you'll have more like 10 to 12 months of exercise programming. And this month, enroll in one of those two, and you could pick two t-shirts that we have available for an additional less than a dollar, and you'll get those two shirts. That's the promo going on this month. You can find all those programs and read more about them at mindpumpmedia.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
I mean, we've talked about this before. I think we all agree. Like, if they had a CrossFit sport, and CrossFit Fitness.
Yeah.
And there were two.
You could do it in the same facility. You would just have different classes.
Well, if I owned a CrossFit box, I would definitely do that. I would definitely say,
like, here's now your, it's sport time.
Here's your CrossFit sport classes, mm-hmm. and then here's your CrossFit fitness classes. You know, are you here because you're interested in competing, or because you want to train like a competitor, or are you here because you're just looking to get in better shape?
Right.
And it would have two different.
It would be really hard to do it under one facility, though.
It would be,
it would be tough to. You'd almost have to be like it's separate. That's why it's. I don't even know how that looks right now because.
We should think about it, though, because we'll be talking to Rob Wolfs and all these guys.
I've thought about this a lot because I've thought about how Orange Theory is made. Like, because Orange Theory is similar problem, right? Similar issues. They just took out the Olympic lift, so they just went back. They scaled it back, right? So they took the – but you still have the same issues. People over usage, so you're getting all these like –
it's all intensity focused.
Yeah, it's all intensity driven, so you get all these like aches and pains on people, and they don't know how to address it. They don't know how to get to the bottom of it. And as in a group class, I would try and teach like mobility drills and like, okay, if this bothers you, here are some moves that you should start to incorporate before you work out. So I did my best to like – but when you're in a group setting, it's so challenging to – talk to all 30 to 50 people in there when they're all dealing with different stuff.
Well, you know, to be totally objective, because I have my own, you know, there's emotion behind it because I saw how it was early on and what the attitude was early on.
Yeah.
And now seeing how it looks like it seems to be shifting, to be totally objective, you know, there are some negatives to group training. There's some positives also. I think because the owners of boxes have so much latitude, because they do. They have, it's not a franchise. It's like an affiliation. They have an incredible amount of flexibility in terms of how they can teach and, you know, coach the classes and all that stuff. And like Mike, when we talked to Mike Bledsoe, he was saying the good ones are going to rise to the top and the bad ones are going to sink. And I think when you have a good instructor, we know a couple of them, right? We know a couple of good instructors that they'll place that kind of emphasis on how they teach it. And this is what I would like to reach out if we have any CrossFit box owners, I would say, you know, really look at your model and how you can make it as sustainable as possible and make it, you know, in a fashion, in a way to where people can progress from your average sedentary person through the process to being able to incorporate some of these lifts, like these Olympic lifts and these
sport is at the pinnacle of, like, you know, going through the process of building your way up towards that.
It is. And look, if you go, I trained in jiu-jitsu for a while and I went to MMA gyms a couple times and I would train at them. And you had MMA classes. Like, these are classes for people who are looking to compete in MMA. And then here's the instructional classes for people who just want to learn jiu-jitsu and boxing. And, you know, you could box and just hit mitts and bags. Or you can box to do smokers.
Well, I actually think what we're currently building could complement what they're doing. For example, okay, so, and I brought this up in the podcast with the girls, was, you know, it's very challenging for us because when you think about it, we're teaching a group class.
Yeah.
We have a million people out there, okay, listening to Mind Pump that need help and advice and training, and we're giving all of them similar advice, right? So we, in a sense, we're teaching a group class. And so the biggest challenge that we've had is like, okay, well, how do we individualize that for all these hundreds of thousands of people, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're having to structure between all the podcasts, the 30 days of coaching, the YouTube channels, all the playlists, we're starting, and all the different programs like Prime, like we're starting to put all these pieces in place that when somebody who's going through goes, oh, this is a problem, or oh, this is bothering me, that they have a direction to go. And I feel like you could take that and you could implement that into a CrossFit class. So when someone's going through a CrossFit class and they're like, oh, this bothers me, they can't stop the class and be like, oh, individualized, train this one person. But we'll have the virtual tools that they could say, hey, go here. You know, Mind Pump's a trusted source. We know the guys that are giving information are giving really good information. If this is bothering you, you notice you can't do this movement, go follow these steps, and that we have provided those steps. So I can see us really complementing.
Yeah,
like a
or
box
you go through those phases, like, you know, strength, and then you go into, like, if Olympic lifts is a skill, like, you know, that you're trying to compete in at one point, like, there's a specific protocol where you're doing that for, like, your 4 month or your 4 week period, and we're just sharpening the skill. We come back, we do the strength, we do the mobility, we do that kind of work, we come back up. So there's a process that leads up to the actual part where it's like, okay, I've fashioned and sharpened my skill to a level where I feel like I can now kind of compete in this. But like, I feel like it's all there. Like, it's all there. Like, if you just separate it out and you work on all those different attributes, and then you treat it like now it's season. Now I'm in season, you know, in the CrossFit season. And how long that season looks is I don't know.
And you know who trains or coach people like that? Some of the leaders, like, mm-hmm. here's what's changed my mind. And what I mean by change my mind is my perception has changed pretty significantly in regards to CrossFit, and a lot of it has to do with that we've met a lot of these leaders in CrossFit, like Rob Wolf, Mike Bledsoe, and some others that we've talked to, and they are fully aware of the pitfalls, and they're leading the charge in terms of
how
to fix it and structure it in a way to where it's got longevity. And they're very smart. They understand training on a level that is, you know, it's way up there. You know, I think, you know, Bledsoe was talking about how long, you know, he trained Olympic lifting before even, you know, putting it into the fatigue-based type circuits that they do and all that stuff. So I see a lot of potential progress happening just from the fact that we've talked to these people. The only thing that I caution is that it's all under the name of CrossFit. And unfortunately, if you have enough bad apples or bad coaches or, you know, people who kind of celebrate intensity too much,
the name's tarnished a bit.
You start to tarnish the name and they're the ones that get all the,
that's where you got to ask yourself, can they come back from that? You know, can you come back? Is it gone too far? Mm-hmm. And is the number of bad boxes and bad coaches outweighing how many of the really good ones there are out there? And can it get its reputation back? Can you get control?
Here's the question behind that, even. Let's take it a step further. I know we talk about business all the time, but you have CrossFit, the brand, which is flourishing, right? They've got CrossFit Games, which is growing every year.
It's still growing.
They've got brands behind them and sponsorships that are massive. And then there's the side of the CrossFit clubs, the CrossFit boxes. Are they doing great? Are a lot of them making money, or are a lot of them struggling, or a lot of them opening up and then realizing
struggling? And I think that was where it was really neat talking to Mike Bledsoe about.
Because he's trying to solve that.
Yeah, Barbell Shrugged is going to do very, very well in the next 5 to 10 years plus. Working with boxes and organizing that piece, because it's not that easy. Everybody thinks it's like, it reminds me of when I started all my boot camp business and I started running them all over the bay and then hiring trainers underneath me to take it. Like, in your head, it sounds like a great idea. Like, oh, these classes, and then they'll charge a monthly fee and I'll make a ton of money. And then when I'm so overwhelmed with classes, I can bring a trainer underneath me and then they'll start to manage that. And then I'll make a cut of that. Like, you know, it was a monster. And, you know, I got it running to where I was making good money, but it was a lot of work just to make good money. It wasn't like it wasn't the type of money that I wanted to make and what I needed.
You still have a big overhead. I mean, just having a facility to maintain and
I think a lot of people, just like with any fitness trend, right? Any fitness fad that or whatever trend you want to call it, you get a lot of people going in because they see the dollar signs.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't make a ton of money owning a CrossFit box. You just don't. Owning a gym, you don't make a ton of money. Very few people make a lot of money owning brick and mortar fitness facilities. And there's not a lot of people making a ton of money with CrossFit. There's a lot of people who are breaking even and losing money. And if you're going into it because you're motivated simply by the money, it's probably not a good idea. If you're motivated by and you're passionate about it and you're a student of the game and you're really a fitness person, and you have some business sense, now you've got a decent mix.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have one and not the other. Like, you can't be a super good trainer and know shit about business, and you can't be a super business-oriented person and have no passion about fitness. Either one of those scenarios, you're probably not going to do well.
Yeah.
You had a lot of those with, like, remember when Curves opened? All these people like, oh, I'm going to open a Curves. It's so easy. It's like, and they all failed. Half of them failed.
Yeah. Well, there was a time when you probably could and you could just ride the wave, but I think that time's over. It reminds me of the, like, cannabis club industry. Like, when I got into it, you know, in San Jose, I was the first two of the first four that existed. And, you know, now there's like 150. I think it got all the way up to like 200-300 and they started scaling them back. You know, got to a point where everybody was like, oh my God, all you have to do is open a shop and get going and make all this money. And it wasn't like that. Sure, at the very beginning it was.
Those are the good old days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was the good old days. And that's why I always tell people it's part of the reason why I'm out. It's not the only reason why I'm out of it. But, you know, it's totally different now than what it was when it first started. And it was a lot easier. You didn't have to know exactly what you're doing and you could still be successful. And I'm sure the first you know, 1,000 CrossFit boxes were probably pretty successful just by opening their doors because of the fad. But now,
the momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, but now it's competitive. And like what Mike was saying, what you're going to see.
Yeah. He said
is,
the era of the like just dirty, dingy, unorganized box is over.
It's over. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Now it's going to be the guys that, the ones that rise to the top are going to be those guys that actually, and girls that yeah. run these boxes. You have a lot more business sense behind them and understand, like you said, like you can't just have great business sense. You also need to understand biomechanics and be able to help people. And mm-hmm. you need to be already trying to think of
you if you're
be
gonna
a more
teach,
effective coach.
Yeah. You need, if you're going to teach the lifts that they teach in CrossFit, you don't need to be just a good trainer. You need to be a fucking yeah. excellent trainer or be smart enough to hire.
Yeah, you like, hire specialists.
Look, I consider myself a pretty good trainer. I would not coach Olympic lifts, the Olympic lifts that they use in CrossFit. But I'm yeah. smart enough to know that I would have someone who does that.
Do you know,
what I mean? I would bring a coach in who's just that.
Do you know
that.
A big, yeah. big miss, though, that I think people don't understand when we talk about coaching and like, because I know, and I remember talking to one of our buddies who used to coach classes, and he's like, oh, I'm a really good coach. You know, I can get, you know, 10 people at the same time, like to, you know, pick up on the snatch with me and do this and that. And where I have an issue with it is like, and this, I know this from firsthand. I remember training clients is you can stand right next to a client and show them like perfect form of a squat, you know, 1,000 times over. And if they're disconnected, right, mm-hmm. they don't have, if they're not, if the right, the correct muscles, they have not trained to fire properly. I don't care how great
they
of a,
they can't replicate it.
They can't, they yeah. can't replicate it because they, until you address those issues. And so, it's not as it's not a matter of being a great coach with great cues yeah, and great form to show you. It's like, you know, and that's what I meant the other day when I was talking to the girls on the podcast. I was like, you know, why what I have the bone I have to pick with it, this is I've spent years and I mean 5+ years teaching a client a single, you know, Olympic movement. And that's taken me years because of the mechanics of it. Like, and I don't, and I'm hesitant to do it because I can barely do it. Break yeah. it.
Everything has to fire optimally. It's, yeah. it's such a, accelerated, like this, that it's such a specific skill to be able to get your entire kinetic chain to do what you want, when you want it, like on command, like at, and to produce like as much force that is required to throw this weight around. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. it's such a, I just feel like it gets, it doesn't get enough respect, yeah. you know, and I feel it's being disrespected by just throwing it in the mix. So I mean, that's, it's just one of those things, like you said, you got to go to the root of it and like,
and there's some,
well, then you've got smart people who see an opportunity.
Right.
Well, who yeah. look at it and go, oh shit, I know how I can organize this.
Well,
in
that
a way.
Was that
like,
was Bledsoe.
Like they're into yeah. it, I mean, so let's sharpen this up.
That right? was Bledsoe. I mean, that was what kind of surprised me when before we got on air with him, we were talking, and we were just kind of bringing that up, and he talked about how he did Olympic lifting before he ever even got into CrossFit, and then all of us right away were like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about it?
Yeah, like, did you see what was going on?
Because normally, yeah. if, you know, you meet a power lifter, Olympic lifter, or even a gymnast, that's their sole sport that they do, and then their feelings on CrossFit, they normally are super anti it because it's to them they feel
see
like,
the form
well
problems.
Yeah and to them it's almost disrespectful. It's like you're gonna throw a sport that I've trained for years on how to do it. You're just gonna throw it in the mix of all these other sports and combine it all together and no and like they normally don't like that. So I was really surprised to hear him and how he responded to that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see that he's a very intelligent business guy and he's like like I thought CrossFit ain't going away.
No.
You know, he's like, this ain't going away. And I can either sit here and sit on one side, talk shit about it all day long,
or I can
insert myself
yeah.
trying to influence it in the right direction, whether I pass or fail it and make a shit ton of money on the way there. And so there's where I have a lot of respect for what he's doing because he does. He sees a problem and he knows that it's not going to go away. And yeah. instead of just sitting behind behind doors and just talking shit about it, he's going to go out there and he's going to try and do something to improve the sport.
This seems like there's more people doing that. Yeah. So I have better hopes for the future. So
yeah, we'll I'm slightly being more optimistic now for sure. Like it took a while to, I don't know, like some of the venom to kind of go away. You know what I mean? Like it's just,
well, you know,
I was in that camp where I just felt like I felt like, because I've worked on a lot of these Olympic lifts, I just felt like it was like nails on a chalkboard, you know?
Well, this reminds me real similar to what we just recently got into with the supplements and the protein shake that the doctor recommended. And we got in this huge, you know, 400 comments on fucking Instagram thing that Sal and this doctor were going back and forth with recommending supplements. And we had some people get really upset at us. And it's like, it's not that we're saying that none of us have used a whey. I just had a whey protein shake just like fucking 3 days ago. So it's I utilize it still. What we're trying to change is the culture behind it, that it's being recommended as a tool for people. It's like, just like I think about like CrossFit, there's people that should be recommended to that, and there's people that shouldn't be recommended. And recommending to the masses is what I have the problem with, and that's where Mind Pump comes out and speaks out on it. And we have to kind of come that way because
it may seem trivial, but it's one of those things. Like we have to sort of put our stance and challenge. Like if there's something like that out there that we know there's a better message that you could insert in that situation, and you know, like just. Not so much like we hate what you're saying. It's like I know where you're coming from with that.
Right.
But like there's such a better message. Check yourself on that.
Yeah.
You know, like understand that, you know, well, why are these guys? And that was the a lot of the comments I read was like, well, I don't understand where all the hate is coming from. I'm just trying to help people. And, you know, and I get that. But like we've evolved, like information has evolved. Like really the check is to go back and study and go look at. You know, where this message came from and what we can do to change, you know, and improve on this.
Well, I think for two things. First off, the doc in question, for the most part, if you know, I went through his social media, 90-something% of what he says is really good. He's got a great message. You know, he's an obesity specialist. I actually like the guy. We've actually talked to him in the past. It was the whole slim fast based, you know, meme, you know, eat a sensible deep meal and then replace this other meal with a shake and then eat another sensible meal. And then they compared that to a really bad diet. And they're like, this is a great way to lose weight. And it's that whole slim fast model, but it reminds me of like when you hear people say, oh God, I switched to this diet and I'm so much better, it's the best diet in the world. It's like, well, it's better than what you had because what you had was horrible, but it's not great.
Right.
And you know, the thing with supplements,
like a baby step.
Yeah. The thing with supplements is at most they can be used to, you know, cover a base that you're missing in your diet, and they have convenience and all that stuff. But they should never be used to replace real food. They should never be marketed that way.
Right.
And the way that they're marketed is that they are the answer to a lot of your problems. Like, this is how you lose weight, you take this, and this is how you gain weight, you take this. And you know, our episode on pre-workout supplements that we kind of broke them down, it was really popular. A lot of people sent us messages and were like, I don't realize how much of a waste of money these pre-workout supplements are.
Well, some of our own guys that were really intelligent guys, you know, that loved any chance they can find to challenge us, love to speak out and challenge, which I appreciate.
Yeah, we love them.
Yeah, it creates great dialogue, and I think that was really the message. So here's a couple things. One, you're never going to see Mind Pump go on some young kid's page and punk him for doing a post like that. Like, we're not in the business of bullying people whatsoever. But if there's a doctor who puts out something like that we think is bad information, we're going to challenge it, and mainly so people can see the dialogue that happens, because I know he's not going to just get like, oh, you're stupid, and get in a name call.
Well, not to be afraid to challenge authority.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you're in a position like that and you have a doctor title, everybody immediately is afraid to challenge that, you know, to challenge the information of it.
Well, the people that were coming to his defense, okay, were like me, somebody who might take a protein shake throughout the day, okay? I might include a protein, but let me tell you why I do that. I'm 220-something pounds, and for me to get even close to a 1-to-1 ratio of protein with missing, skipping, fasting, so that is already really challenging. So if I just came off a day where maybe I had a pretty long fast, or I didn't get that much protein the day before, then I have another day and I happen to be in a hurry and I'm low on protein again, I might make that choice to do that. But to market towards people that are overweight or obese, because you're an obesity doctor, on using something like a protein shake as a tool for fat loss, I disagree with. Because that person is not like in this dire need to make sure they get that extra 20 grams of protein. In fact, why wouldn't that
Why don't they just fast?
Right.
Why don't they just fast?
A better option would literally be instead of sensible dinner, you know, fast food meals, sensible breakfast, fast food meal, sensible dinner, and then replace the fast food meal with protein. A better option would be sensible breakfast, skip lunch,
yep,
then have a sensible dinner.
Right.
That's actually the best option. We know this, right?
Right. Or have some nuts, have some fruit. I mean, we can go all day. There's a million things, I think, that's just it. There's a lot of things better than that shake. And the people that were arguing that with us yesterday, you're an exception to the rule. Like, go ahead. You can have a shake. You're not an obese person who's trying to lose weight and being recommended that. You're some guy who's trying to build muscle and you're concerned that you're not going to get enough grams of protein in for the day.
Let's talk about protein powders for a second. Let's get into them.
Let's do like we did the other day with supplements. Let's pull them.
Break them
now. Yeah.
Let's right. pull them up. Let's turn the labels
look at
around.
The top ones.
Let's talk. Yeah. Right. Let's talk about the top ones out there.
Put a critical eye on.
First
them.
Off, let's look at the history of powdered food. Powdered food has actually been around for quite a while. Powdered protein, in particular, was used as a way to, and I believe formulas were probably the first things that be created, right? When mothers couldn't produce milk, and so they tried to.
Isn't this stuff that we use in the war for like soldiers and stuff like that we'd send over there so they could get the meals while they're on the go? And isn't that where it came from?
It was never considered like a great option to replace. It was an emergency kind of option.
Right.
Bodybuilders started using protein powders or I should say advertising protein powders when it became common knowledge that protein built muscle. So if you're in the sport of muscle building and protein builds muscle, it's an easy sell, right? I can sell the public and say, hey, protein builds muscle, take this powder, get this extra protein, therefore you're going to build extra muscle. We know that's false. We know that past a certain point, it doesn't matter how much protein you eat. And that number is backed by pretty conclusive science, lots and lots of studies that show that about 0.6 to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight, and this is for lean individuals, is the upper limit, meaning any more than that is probably you're just wasting protein or at least it's getting turned into energy or stored as body fat. So if you're a 200-pound athlete, you know, you're looking at 150, 160 grams. Anything over that, it's not really doing you any benefit. So there's no need to really seek out extra protein and to try and get extra protein. But what's really interesting is somewhere along the way, protein powders became touted as health food, which is really weird.
Right.
It's really, really weird because if you really break it down, and I want the audience to kind of just be objective for a second. Let's break this down, right? When we think of health, true health and true wellness, from a nutritional standpoint, that means whole, natural, varied food. Fruit, vegetables, nuts, healthy meats. For some people, that means dairy. Good fats, good proteins, good carbohydrates, right? Nowhere in that is something that comes out of a box or something that's heavily engineered or processed.
Right.
But for some strange reason, and this was due to the brilliant marketing behind it, protein powders turned into a health food. Like if you went to a health food store, you'd walk through and then they had protein powder,
which is
very strange.
This goes back to the knowing that protein and fat are essential, right? We know that those two are essential. So if they're essential, I can scare you. I can scare you that you're not getting enough of it. You could die.
You're not hitting your RDA.
Yes, you could die. You're not getting your RDA. Muscle could fall off your body. And for somebody who's deciding to exercise and lift weights, and then also for recovery reasons, right? So I'm gonna pitch the amino acid side of it. So here's where I think We took a little bit of good information and we exaggerated the fuck out of it and we built a market around it. And now we just, because so many people are making so much money on it, how many times did we almost align ourselves with the whey protein? Mm-hmm. How many times? How many times did we go back and forth and say, hey, listen,
At least 20. I still
use them. I mean, I tell you guys all the time, like I still find it for me, okay, for my size. I was just telling Justin the other day because I've been intuitive eating for quite some time now. And then just recently I started tracking again and kind of keeping track of my protein. And I grossly undereat protein. I my whole life I was a sugar eater, carb eater. So I naturally gravitate towards carbohydrates. And when I intuitively eat, I still kind of gravitate that direction. And when I start to actually break it down, a big guy at 200 something pounds like I am could actually have a day where I only got 90 grams of protein, which is really low for someone like me who's lifting as much weights as I'm lifting. So for me, if I had a day where I'm like, oh shit, look, that's 2 days in a row of only like 90 to 120 grams of protein, I'm going to have a shake before I go to bed so I get that extra protein inside there. So I get it. I understand where it could have its place. Now, I would be better off having a fucking full
which
meal.
Which is why you even just said, like, oh, I just had one 3 days ago.
Right.
People consume protein powders several times every single day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the people I've worked with will have a minimum of one, but usually two shakes every single day. You probably will have less than two shakes a week.
Oh, yeah. No, it's my tub. I don't even know how long I've had that tub. I've had that tub for a long time. So it lasts for quite some time.
Right,
so.
Right. Now, I understand if you fall for the whole you need to eat 1.5 to 2 grams of protein per pound of body weight, which is complete 100% utter bullshit. But I understand if you fall for that protein powders then become essential. Because if I'm a 200-pound guy, and I'm led to believe that I need to have 400 grams of protein, but I have to also be within a certain amount of calories, where am I going to find all that pure protein without any fat or carbohydrates?
And how can you digest all of that, you know, without something that's as easily like processed as a protein powder, right?
I mean, eat 400 grams of protein from real food.
Good luck.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so now powders become essential.
Right.
And so number one, realize that is not doing you any good. It's a waste of time to take that much protein on a daily basis. It just absolutely is. It doesn't help you at all. Maybe for extreme athletes with lots of muscle for very short periods of time, there may be a little bit of a benefit. I'd even debate that. But definitely no benefit on a regular basis, zero. So at the most, 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight is right where you want to be at. And if you're not lean, then you can cut that way down. I mean, if you're walking around and you're a dude and you're at 20% body fat, don't match your body weight to your protein intake because a lot of that's fat.
Yeah.
It's probably even a lot less. Number two, realize that protein powders are about the most processed you can get when it comes to processed food.
Right.
Think of the process that goes through making food. Taking real food. I mean, they sell fucking beef protein. What is that? That carnivore protein? You ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
Made from beef protein.
Oh, no.
Think about the process that they go through to take steak or red meat, extract the protein, separate the fat out of it, right? Because they want just protein.
Oh, right, yeah. You can't have the fat.
Dry it and turn it into a powder that you can mix in water.
And then flavor it so it doesn't taste like a steak.
That's palatable.
It tastes like cookies and cream instead.
Yeah. Mm. That's palatable, right? That you'll actually drink. Think about that. The amount of engineering that goes into that. We are talking about the highest level of engineering to create an extremely processed food. So protein powders are very, 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 very processed. So if you're a person with health as your priority and wellness, understand that on a daily basis, you are consuming something that's extremely processed and engineered to be very, very
palatable. What's that powerlifter's name? And he's like 400 pounds. He's like he has one of the squat records. I was watching his Instagram. This fucker, like every day, takes like literally, he'll take 8 ounces of steak, 6 ounces of chicken. He'll take 2 avocados and egg.
And blend it.
And blend that fucker and drink. Like, well, think about it. You're like 400 pounds. Dude. I think he's high 300s.
He's got to get it in.
And like, powerlifting all the time. So
I also want people to consider digestive issues that are caused by.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's and if you're listening right now, don't you fucking lie to me. You know your farts smell horrible when you take protein powder.
Your stomach is very loud.
It is it's like a common, it's so common that if you go into a gym or you talk to bodybuilders, you talk about protein farts, everybody understands.
Oh, Lord.
Everybody knows. And it's related to, more often than not, the protein powder, not necessarily the food.
Well, all you got to do is find your protein shaker. Like a couple days later, you left in your car. Just open that up and take a big whiff.
Yeah.
That's what's going on inside you.
So think of what's happening to your digestion that's causing that, you know, to that bubble guts and the farts and all that stuff. A lot of people get constipation or diarrhea.
Which should already be like a sign or a red flag for you that you're probably overdoing it a bit. Like, come on. Like, if your stomach
it's not benefiting you.
Yeah, if you're shitting like diarrhea, okay, and you're farting like crazy, your stomach's all bubbly. Like, you're probably overdoing the protein.
I think your body's telling you something.
Right?
Not only are you overdoing it, but if your digestive system is off, if your gut is off, you're actually limiting or restricting your body's ability even to burn body fat and build muscle. Without a healthy gut, lots of systems are in jeopardy, and part of them is your ability to burn body fat and build muscle. Think about it when your stomach's messed up. How strong are you? How fit do you feel? How healthy do you feel? Think of the fact, you know, understand the fact that many key neurotransmitters are created in the gut, that hormones change if your gut is off, that sleep is altered, nutrient absorption is off. So if your gut is off because you're taking a protein powder, but you're telling yourself, oh, but this is building muscle, so it's helping me, so it's worth it. It's actually not only not building muscle for you, it's probably taking that away from you.
Right.
So if you have those problems also, you're not doing yourself any favors by taking these protein powders.
Well, it doesn't help too. Like we were saying, this thing's been around for a long time, so we found all kinds of ways to market it too. Like now where we have like a nighttime one, we have the anabolic window is so popular. So, you know, hey, you got that 30-minute window to maximize your muscle building. So you got, you know, it's much easier just to drink a shake real quick than go home and like make a meal. That could take an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have an hour. I only got 20, 30 minutes to hit this anabolic window. I got to take this shake, dude.
Yeah, it's absolute. It's false. Does it accelerate glycogen, repletion? It does, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen if you don't have that shake. Really, where the benefit comes from is if you plan on having another workout a couple hours later, that's real hard. Then you'll benefit from having something post workout, but it's not limited to a shake. The same thing happens with food. You can literally have a chicken breast or some tuna and some white rice. Or studies have actually shown a fucking glass of milk is just as effective.
Yeah. Right.
Literally, a glass of milk. It's got a little bit of the sugars from the lactose. It's got the proteins. It's got some of the fats.
I did a post on that a long time ago.
You drink it, and they've compared it to protein shakes, and it's just as effective on all those levels. The difference is it's not as expensive.
Well, let's take the number one, which I see Doug's got
it's
up on the
pure.
TV. Doug's got looks
so
like
he went on to bodybuilding.com and he's looking
nutrition.
Up the top 10 protein powders, and the number one protein powder is by Optimum Nutrition. It's gold standard, 100% whey. Doug, why don't you click on that view product and let's break it down. So let's look at their ingredients. First off, a protein blend, which comes from whey protein isolate, concentrate, and peptides. Basically, it's just whey protein. Isolate, they call the purest form, right? Because they've completely removed everything else aside from the protein.
Sucrose.
Concentrate.
Red number 42. Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Boy, they got them both.
So here's the rest of the ingredients.
Yeah.
Lecithin, natural and artificial flavors, citric acid, sucralose, FD&C, red number 40. And then there's something called aminogen. If you have a protein powder.
It has soy also.
What's lactase? Is that another sugar?
No, these
Katrina
are all.
And I were looking to grow a lactase and a red 40 tree next summer. We said,
beautiful.
We've noticed how many of these are in supplements. We thought we could probably grow one of those.
No,
lactase
is the enzyme that breaks down lactose. So,
what's a red 40
tree? So it helps people digest it.
What's a red 40 tree look like?
Exactly. Hmm. What you'll find in protein powders is most of the things in the ingredient, underneath ingredients, are there to increase palatability or make it taste and feel better. So they try to add things that make it feel smoother to your mouth, and they add things that make it dissolve really well in a shaker cup. If you look at all of the money that goes into protein powders, all the money that goes into research and development, the vast majority of it goes into palatability. It's not going into creating this crazy effective protein powder that's going to be better for you.
Now, it says it also has soy in it, but it's promoting this as whey protein specifically.
It just has lecithin in there, which is almost like an additive it's an additive to keep it. I think it keeps it from clumping.
I see.
So they have to put that in there because if someone's allergic to soy, that they'll know that there's trace amounts of soy in there, but it's not soy protein that they're putting in
Got
there.
It.
So zero, you're not getting iron, calcium, you're not getting vitamin A, C, you're not getting any D, you're not getting really vitamins in here. We're getting mostly just a little bit of sugar and
a glass of milk is better for you. If you can have whey, then just have a glass of fucking milk and you're good, and it's cheaper. and it's better for you. You know, as far as
the difference is 10, it's a difference of 14 more grams of protein.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. Like if you're looking at your protein powder and there's like an amino acid blend that they add in there, a red flag needs to go up. Number one, if you're getting 20 grams of protein, you have all the branched-chain amino acids you need. Adding extra BCAAs or glutamine or whatever isn't going to do you any good. Studies have shown this. If you have enough protein, you don't need it. But if you do look at your protein powder and in the ingredients, they do have, you know, a bunch of added amino acids. Here's why that's a red flag. Recently, it's been discovered that protein powder companies were spiking their protein powders with amino acids to fool tests into believing it had more protein than it did. Because the way that they'll test protein powders is they'll look at particular amino acids, and then based off that, they'll say, okay, this has 30 grams of protein. Well, if you're a company, you know that you can add those amino acids for cheaper than just adding extra protein.
You could probably Google protein spiking, and what Sal's talking about would pop up. That's just my guess, because it was popular. It's been popular for a long time.
Well, a lot of protein powders were found to do this. It wasn't like one or two.
No, I remember when we first started this podcast, there was a big study that had came out.
I remember that.
In regards to, we had just talked about supplements, and then out comes this study that picked the top like six or seven protein shakes, and all of them were less than 50% of what they said they had in it, and there was only one that was actually 50% of what they said. So all of them were grossly over-reporting the protein, and they were doing it through this protein spiking, which is what Sal was talking about, where you throw all these amino acids in there, so the test shows that, oh, all because of all the amino acids added in there plus the protein, oh, this must have 30 grams of
all this protein.
Yeah, it must have 30 grams or 40 grams of protein.
No, and it's like 15 or something like that. And here's what you got to be careful of, by the way. If you Google what Adam said, because Doug just Googled it, you'll pull up a bunch of blogs that are going to tell you about protein spiking that are also selling their own protein. It's a very smart strategy.
Yeah,
so
love the internet.
If I'm a supplement company and a news story comes out that FDA or independent lab went out and tested all these creatines and found that they all had toxic
news is bad news,
byproducts,
right?
Then if I'm a creatine manufacturer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write an article that's going to talk about that, but then at the bottom of it or whatever, I'll link you to the creatine that I sell. That seems to be good. So that's Optimum Nutrition.
Oh, Jim. Oh,
here we go.
Hey,
our favorite guy.
Coming up in the top.
Dude, yeah. Jim is fucking
killing
shit up, bro.
I think he's up there because
he is bossing out.
Bodybuilding.com.
Yeah.
Don't they own that company? Wasn't there a lawsuit or something?
Yeah, he's now on GNC.
I wonder if these are the ones that they want
to
sell.
Maybe they're trying
more
to get rid of them.
I want to know if he's stupid rich from this or not.
I think I partnered
with the wrong guy.
Might have been cut out of this one.
You partnered with the wrong Italian.
Yeah, right.
Doug, why don't you pull that up? Let's look at the ingredients here. The ingredients.
What you got in here, Jim? Let's see what you got.
So, chocolate cookie crunch flavor.
Ooh.
Chocolate cookie crunch.
Look at the ingredients
list. Sounds like my kid's cereal.
Look at that ingredient list. This could take a day just to get through this.
All right, here we go. Protein blend. It's got whey protein, micellar casein, milk protein isolate, and egg albumin as the mix for protein. So, does it matter if you're drinking a protein powder that is pure whey, or that's this huge mix of proteins? Not really. I mean, we are literally splitting hairs to the point where it's not going to make a difference at all.
It will for marketing purposes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, our protein's better because it has, all these...
Because it has casein in it.
It's got all these other proteins that digest slower and faster and whatever, and...
It's the perfect blend.
No, you're so splitting hairs. It's not going to make a difference. So that's stupid. It's stupid. It's just all marketing. The next thing that he has in there as an ingredient is non-dairy creamer, which is made from sunflower oil.
There we go, Doug. Thank you.
Sunflower oil, corn syrup solids, sodium caseinate, mono and diglyceride, potassium phosphate, tricalcium phosphate, soy lecithin, and tocopherols. So he basically threw something in there.
I mean, that's what I bought at the grocery store. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He, first of all, the first two things in there,
I love how we
sunflower.
Say he, like it's Jim who's like stirring.
Whatever.
Poor Jim.
Yeah. Hey, you put your name on the bottle.
Yeah,
buddy.
Right? That's what happens when you put your name on it.
So sunflower oil and corn syrup solids, two unhealthy ingredients that I would completely avoid. Sunflower oil is a very inflammatory fat. So it's up there with all the other vegetable oils that are highly processed that are fats you should stay away from. I mean, they're up there with – they're not quite as bad, but
what
they're up there with –
what does cocoa powder Dutch process mean? Like a Dutch oven?
My
like,
favorite
what's
is
a, – what's a cocoa
who
powder –
who doesn't love Dutch a Dutch oven, right? A good Dutch oven?
What is a cocoa powder Dutch process? I don't even understand half of it.
Well, so check this out. Let me blow you guys away.
Cookie bits. Chocolate so, cookie bits?
I like guar gum. You know, remember that band Guar? Yeah. Dude, I saw them one time live. It was fucking awesome. Halloween, I highly suggest it.
So I'm going to trip you guys out. So here's a little brilliance in the marketing because they know that people read the ingredient list. So they could have just listed sunflower oil, corn syrup solid, sodium caseinate, all those different things. But instead what they did is they put non-dairy creamer and then in parentheses they put the ingredients to non-dairy creamer. Now the reason they did that is because we've been conditioned now that if we don't understand an ingredient, it's probably not good for us, right? So what they're doing now is they're explaining the ingredient. So, oh, it's non-dairy creamer. Now, to the average person, like, oh, non-dairy creamer, not a big deal. Non-dairy creamer is extremely processed, invented, engineered creamer, which is the alternate to regular creamer, which comes from dairy. Yeah. And if you're trying to avoid dairy, then you shouldn't be having this protein anyway because it's got whey.
Cows are bad. Labs are good.
Yeah. So sunflower oil and corn syrup, I would avoid anyway, but they threw them in there because what it does is it gives it a nice mouth feel. So when you mix it, it tastes creamier. So that's why the non-dairy creamer is in there. Then you've got cocoa powder in there, which I think to give it a little bit of a chocolate flavor. Of course, natural and artificial flavors, mostly artificial. Chocolate cookie bits. Again, rather than just putting rice flour, sugar, tapioca starch, cocoa processed with alkali, palm oil, cornstarch, salt, natural flavors, sodium bicarbonate, and soy lecithin. Instead of just putting all that, it's chocolate cookie bits, and then they put all that in there. Of course, this is appealing again to your palate. If you're reading this and you're like, oh, protein powder. Oh, shit, they put chocolate cookie bits.
Chocolate cookie bits.
It has barely any carbs. This is crazy. Just a bunch of stuff in there to make it taste a certain way. Guar gum, again, mouthfeel. And then a bunch of preservatives and sucralose. This is a chemical shitstorm of a protein powder. So if you were going to buy a protein powder and your choices were this and Optimum Nutrition, based on the ingredients, I would go with Optimum. Of course, my advice would be to go with neither and just eat food.
Why? They both have that.
Because this one has a lot more random shit in there. Oh, it probably tastes better.
Well, this is also okay. So since you said that,
the flavor of it probably
this is
that.
Something that because I always like, you know, Taylor was talking about this the other day when he had Dr. Ruscio. Like, you know, a lot of the great stuff that you just shared right now just went over a lot of people's head. And I think an easy way to tell people, like, when you read back to the ingredients, if there's a lot of things that you can't sound out. Yeah. And you don't know what it is, and it's really long.
Take caution.
That's just a red flag right away. I've never in my life found something that's healthy for me, and the ingredients list is fucking long. They don't go hand in hand, right? So if it's something really healthy for you, normally it's going to have a very, very short.
I think it was like 5 ingredients. Somebody told me that a long time ago.
Oh, is that?
And I've always kind of gone off of that.
Well, if you're buying whey protein, if you want whey protein powder. You know what the ingredients should say?
Whey.
Whey protein.
That's it. Like number one. Whey.
No color, no flavor, just whey. Maybe another
first,
ingredient to prevent
it's the most.
Maybe to prevent clumping. Yeah. You know, and that's pretty much it. And just mix that shit in your shaker cup and drink it and stop being a pussy and trying to drink, you know, a freaking milkshake. It's like if you want something to taste good, go drink a goddamn milkshake. I don't get that.
Yeah, separate your options there.
Yeah. But I mean, again,
make it a treat and delicious.
Again, it's got a shit ton of stuff in it. And if you're drinking this every single day, which by the way,
well, again,
a while ago I got into the debate with Jim Stepani, and because he was telling people to consume an incredible amount of protein, and he was telling people to take 4 servings a day of this powder.
Yeah.
Think about that now for a second. Half of your protein every single day, a quarter to half of your protein every day comes from this laboratory creation. And you're going to do that long term. Do you really think that's going to be a good idea? Probably not.
No, I don't. I don't think it's a good idea. And I don't think you cannot not have or not have protein whey. I think there, it can be something you can utilize. I think the choices that I think we're trying to get to people to understand is that if you're somebody who is missing your protein intake grossly and you don't have time to get a meal and you're trying to get that in, there is a lot better choices than the cinnamon swirl, chocolate bit, cookies and cream whey. Yeah. If that's your reason behind doing it, where we got, the I think where charms, we got into this, this whole treat. Battle and how this conversation got started was because of this doctor and Mind Pump going back and forth on recommending it to the masses as a good option in replace of burger and fries. Mm-hmm. And it's like the top of the shit pile. Like it's, okay, so what? Yeah, it's a different, it's another option, but it's still not an ideal fucking option for people. And I feel like people in...
My grandmother used those expressions.
In a position like we are in, or he is in as a doctor, we have a higher responsibility to educate and inform people. And the one-off, so the idiots that we're arguing or debating or taking it personal with us, like, you're a one-off, bro. You know, you're somebody who, you know, cycles for 4 hours, lifts weights like crazy. You have a low body fat. You have a hard time getting the protein in. You don't have time to sit down and make your meal. Sure, by all means, go get your all-pure whey protein shake in and do that. But when we're talking about people that are, if you're an obese doctor, your audience are a lot of fat people. And a lot of fat people that struggle with their food choices, and teaching them to replace that with some artificially sweetened bullshit fucking shake instead of burgers and french fries, it's the top of the shit pile. It's the next least worst thing for them to do, and it's not a tool. Well, like, that's everybody's argument. It's like, oh, he's just giving them an option for a tool. No, it's not a tool. It's not a tool at all. It'd be a tool for the other guys, the exceptions to the rule, the one percenters, the ones that actually might, the athletes, the ones that probably could use it and probably know more about their body. But when you're talking to the general population, like what we do on Mind Pump, that's why we share stuff like this. It's not that I don't take a whey shake every once in a while. It's that I know I'm not like most people. Most people are not training 7 days a week and weigh and have 200 pounds of lean body mass on them. Most people have about 130 to 150 pounds tops of muscle on their body, and they're overweight. And if anything, they can cut out a meal. They don't need to be replacing, or they can have some nuts or have some fruit or a million other options besides a shake.
Yeah, I want, the other thing too is we're constantly chasing taste without substance. And what I mean by that is I want something that's sweet, but I don't want sugars or carbohydrates, right? And this is kind of hacking or at least hijacking your body's natural systems of perception. And you want to ask yourself why your body perceives tastes to begin with. Like, why do we even taste things? Why is that an important evolutionary trait that humans have? Like, why should I taste things? What if I just tasted nothing, but I just ate?
You're right? Trying to identify whether it has nutrients in it or not that you need.
That's what's happening. Like, we evolved to when we sensed we perceived this taste of sweetness, it was accompanied by a fast burning source of energy, some type of a natural sugar or carbohydrate, and it was accompanied by certain nutrients that were found primarily in foods that tasted that way. Like vitamin C, for example. Vitamin C is difficult to find unless you eat, good sources of, like fruits and certain vegetables. And so it makes sense that when you tasted sweet, you craved it and you ate it. And fruit was kind of hard to find for the most part. You didn't find a lot of it if it grew naturally. And when you did find it, you ate the hell out of it. So what happens if we seek out taste without, a macronutrient? Well, it changes a few things. Number one, it changes. Think about it this way. Your body's now expecting sugar or carbohydrates, but it doesn't get any. It still pretends like it gets it in terms of how the chemicals and the hormones react in the body, but now it's not getting it. So it's kind of being fooled a little bit. Your brain's centers that perceive this particular type of taste start to get altered to the point where you're now regular sweet no longer tastes sweet, to where you need these artificial, engineered sweet taste. So now when I do go to eat fruit, it tastes bland. Or I go to eat regular food, it doesn't taste satisfying. I need to have this extreme, type of flavor. So this is what you're doing when you're consuming these types of things, which is why, people have such a tough time giving up their protein shakes because they love the taste.
This is why we're so passionate about it too, is that we know this from you know, I know this not, and I said this on that thread, was I know this not from the, you know, hundreds of people's lives that I've changed. I know this because of the thousands of people I failed. Because I told clients, here, have these bars and use this. When next time you're hungry, don't eat, don't go through McDonald's, have this bar instead. Hey, here's some of these shakes. Like, make sure you have this shake right after your workout. Or if next time you want to go through McDonald's again, have this shake instead. And I failed them all. I wasn't helping them. I wasn't getting to the root cause. So when I see a post like that, that's where the passion comes from. It's not that nobody should have a whey protein shake. The people we're talking to are not the people that fully understand and calculate out their macros and know that they're only getting 60 grams of protein, so they need this shake to get an extra. We're not talking to those people. We're talking to the rest of the fucking world, which is the majority.
Well, like we said, if you're eating adequate protein to build muscle, it's about 0.6 to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight, which means you can easily get it from food and it'll fit your calories and do all that stuff. You don't have
to drink it. Okay, I want to stop you there, though. You can if you're... You know, especially if you're the average person who's probably got 100 to 150 pounds of lean mass on you. It can be challenging for somebody who's got over 200. I get that.
Sure.
I get that and I understand that. But I also think
Again, even a big guy, you know, like you, you're not doing two shakes every day.
No.
Do you see what I'm saying?
What I'm not,
they've worked it into their meal plan.
Yeah, it becomes exactly. Because it's
their diet.
It's an emergency. Like, it's an emergency, and it's something that you...
I've actually seen meal plans where you see it show up, like meal three.
Oh, well, I mean,
I did that.
I mean, we did that. I did that as a trainer for many years. For many years, I would wreck, which is like how that post was, which was the sensible breakfast, the shake for lunch, and then the meal for dinner. I mean, that was we were taught that when we were going through training. The whole Apex thing, we talked about this the other day on the podcast, was you know, when we were taught to sell supplements, we would tell people to eat these shakes and bars in replace of meals and restrict the calories, and we were pitching the same bullshit that it's a tool. It's a tool to help these people lose weight. No, it's not. Not when 80% of them get fat again. We're not fucking helping anybody.
Yeah, that's
how cereal made its way into being a balanced part of your breakfast.
Yeah, exactly.
Cereal is dog shit.
Yeah, and you have to think, you know, how do we define success? Because what's going to happen is people will show studies and be like, look, all these people lost weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. If you lost weight, you still haven't succeeded. If you gain it back, you failed. If you lost weight, you're healthy and fit and that's it. Now that's your new lifestyle and you've lost weight and it never comes back. Now you can call that a success. Very, very
few. I don't know
people.
Where I heard it first, but someone said it great. Where they said, you know, America does not have a weight loss program, a problem. We do not. We do not have a weight loss problem.
No, we lose it. We just don't keep
it
up.
Yes, we lose millions of pounds as a nation every single year. The problem that
we
have.
We put on more when
that's
when
the
it
problem.
Rebounds.
The problem is that nobody keeps it off. And that should be everybody. You know, I don't care who you are, but that should throw up a flag for everybody. And I especially think it should throw up a flag for those doctors and people in professional positions that have been in those positions for a long time or that are speaking to the masses, that this message is not a good message. That's all I'm saying. We're not saying you can't take a protein shake. We're not saying we're not demonizing protein shakes. No, not that at all. I use them, okay? It's that what we're trying to do is let people know that it's not a good message for the masses. If you're that anomaly, if you're that one-off, if you're that athlete, fucking take it. You know, use it judiciously. Understand that it's not ideal, that you should be eating whole foods, but you're in a pinch, you're in a bind. Have your fucking shake every once in a while. Good for you. The rest of the people should not be taught that this is a good replacement
for
real food.
You shouldn't have, for the most part, you should not be having a protein shake every single day. I have a protein shake even at home, and the way I use it is kind of like the way Adam does, or every once in a while I'll make myself a smoothie type of treat or whatever, and I use it for flavor or to add a little bit of protein, just because I don't feel like I'm not blending chicken breasts or, you know, whatever, like other people, you know, like that bodybuilder you were talking about. But it's gonna last me a long time. I just don't use it that often. So the number three on this list of the top 10 was Muscle Tech Nitro Tech. And it's a cinnamon swirl flavor. Let's go ahead and swirl.
Cinnamon swirl.
Yeah.
Awesome. This one's got all the added.
Well, this one
sounds like it's a Willy Wonka.
The nitro amino matrix. Factory.
This one has nitro. This one has amino acids added to it. That to me is always a big red flag. You know, first of all, you don't need to add the BCAAs. So you're paying for
which this is probably how they get it from 20 to 30 grams of protein.
People are excited. 1 gram of sugar. Wow. Yeah. Yes, I'm doing good.
No, they have a huge whey protein blend. I guess that's now become the thing. It's supposed to look a lot, you know, like, oh, it's a blend, therefore it's superior.
So you get them all, right?
Artificial sweeteners, more sunflower lecithin, gum blend, which is to give it that feeling of smoothness. Enzyplex, which is just papain and amylase, which are enzymes that help break down protein. Of course, sucralose. I will say this about sucralose, by the way. Sucralose is by far the most popular artificial sweetener you'll find in your protein powder. Sucralose has been demonstrated to alter microbiome or, you know, at least your gut flora. So it does alter gut flora. Not a good idea. You don't want to do that. Every once in a while, probably not a big deal. If you eat it on a regular basis, you may be harming your gut. And after 5 to 10 years, you may find that you all of a sudden can no longer digest protein powders. All of a sudden, you've become intolerant to dairy.
And you say may because this is an area that we're still learning about.
We are, but you won't find a single gut health specialist that thinks that sucralose is a good idea on a daily basis. It's just not.
Which is this is just so people that have been listening to the show for, or maybe you haven't. Like, there's whenever we have somebody that is either a nutritionist specialist or somebody that's a gut health specialist, and we bring this question up, that's always the answer. Mm-hmm. If you're going to take something like that into your diet, I would definitely minimize the amount of it that you allow in there. Yeah. It's in a lot of food out there, though. It's in a ton of food.
It is, because again, we're chasing flavor, right? We're chasing that particular, you know, sweet or whatever. Yeah. I'll tell you what. For the most part, most of the popular protein, first of all, you don't need to take a protein powder. That's my advice. But if you want to, if you really, really want to take one, seek out one that is organic, has
not flavored.
Minimal
Why flavor?
Ingredients. No
flavor it with some strawberries and blueberries.
Yeah, no flavor. But if you want to get a flavored one, then get the ones that are organic and naturally flavored, and they'll probably be flavored with stevia.
You know what's crazy to me is if you take, a lot of people don't realize this, if you take a half a cup of blueberries and 3 strawberries, you know how little calories that is?
Not much.
And how much flavor that you get from 3 whole strawberries and a half a cup to a cup of blueberries? The calories are very low, so that's how I would take my shakes. I'd add a banana because I like bananas too. You go and you add that in with some ice and either some almond or coconut milk or water if you want to go really low on calories, and you get a plain ass whey, plain with no flavoring, no nothing, and then you throw it in there. So if that, and then you make your own, and then you could play with things, and then you could add it with different types of fruits. And so I'm getting some good natural fruits in there, some good antioxidants, some good real whole foods with this plain ass whey by itself. So if you're somebody who's seeking that extra gram to 10 to 20 grams of protein, you absolutely feel you need it because you can't seem to find a way to get all the protein through whole foods on a very regular basis, then I get it. You
now,
know what I'm saying?
Now, Doug, can you look up, because I want to, for people who can't have dairy or you know, vegans or whatever, vegans might be a good, they might be a category of people that would do well with a protein powder just because it's hard to get adequate protein with a vegan diet. No, yeah. look up Warrior Blend. Click on that and let's look at the ingredients if there's an ingredient area. Well, here you go. So it's got a protein blend, pea protein, hemp seed protein, and goji berry. Is that it? Let's double check on that, because if that's it, that's not bad at all.
That's awesome, though. I mean, that's what you're looking for. You're trying to find these. If you feel like you can't break free of your whey protein and you need it in your diet,
Here's your first step, you're looking for a blend.
Let's see
what does that say. Does it say organic stevia? Oh no, it says sea salt, other ingredients.
Oh yeah, yeah, they do have some other ingredients down at the bottom. Let's blow that up.
Thank you. It's got organic vanilla flavor.
I don't like that it has a proprietary blend.
Organic, so here's why they're going to do that with vegan proteins, because vegan sources of protein are sometimes limited in certain amino acids, so you'll get more complete protein. This is why vegans are always encouraged to combine like rice and beans and proteins together, because your body will utilize however much protein it can, but then if it's limited by a low one amino acid being low, one essential or whatever, then it's actually not very bioavailable. So it's going to be very rare to find a vegan protein that's not a blend. Okay. Although hemp
That's good to know.
Pea and soy are actually pretty good on their own.
Look, they did. Okay, so there you go. They have a stevia extract.
Yeah, so this has vanilla flavor blend, guar gum, which gives it that texture, sea salt, and stevia. So is stevia a good substitute for artificial flavors?
It's a better choice.
It's a better choice. Is it ideal? No.
No.
Again, you are talking about something that is giving you that sweet signal to your brain that's not delivering carbohydrates or sugars and could change how your brain perceives certain foods. Also, stevia, not entirely sold on how it affects the microbiome. I'm going to bet it's a lot better than artificial sweeteners, but having even that on an every single day basis, probably not the best idea. So this is actually a protein that I've had in the past that every once in a while, and when I say every once in a while, probably at the most once a month, more like once every other month, where I'll throw it in a smoothie or something like that. And that's Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. Mm-hmm. So I guess at the end of the day, here's the advice. Whole foods, nothing comes close to whole foods in terms of health, mm-hmm. muscle building, fat loss, the way your brain is going to perceive, the way you taste certain things, digestion, like everything. Across the board, whole foods, superior. You don't need protein powders. You're better off without them. That being said, if you are one of those people that may need protein powder here and there, then go for organic, minimum amount of ingredients, non-artificially flavored, non-artificially colored type protein powders. Those are the ones we recommend. The two that we just randomly pulled
and
up.
They may be a little more expensive, and it may look like your serving size is less, right? But that's, you want to seek more of the quality, right? And plus the serving amount that you're going to use is going to be less than like what all your other people are going to recommend. So it's going to last you a decent amount of
time. I also want to make a point that our bodies don't run on this perfect 24-hour clock. So don't look at it just like as a one-day snapshot. So when I made the point that I actually utilize whey protein shakes every now and then, it's because I've strung like 2 or 3 days in a row that I've noticed I've been really low on protein. Because first of all, having some low protein days actually ends up benefiting me. Because mm-hmm. we've talked about that, oversaturating our body with too much protein, then it desensitizes it, right? Mm-hmm. So when I have like a day or two of low protein, I don't even sweat it whatsoever. Now, I start pushing 3, 4, 5 a week straight where I'm consistently not hitting my targets. That's where you see me kind of introduce that. Don't look at it just for that one day. If that one day you're low, but yesterday you probably ate over 20 grams of protein, you're fine. You're totally fine because it doesn't work that way. It's like an average. It's like it doesn't work on a 24-hour clock because this day you're low on protein, but yesterday you weren't. Don't look at it like that. Start looking at your nutrition like a snapshot of like a week and pay attention. And if it is something that you're consistently missing, then I could understand putting it in there. But for a single day, one day of low protein actually will probably do more good than it's going to do harm. You're not going to lose pounds of muscle off of your body with even missing your protein targets for an entire week. Yeah. It doesn't work, pounds.
And if you really want to drink your calories post-workout, and dairy is not a problem, have a glass of non-fat milk. Or ideally have a glass of whole milk. By the way, and I know because, and the reason why I said non-fat, because you got people freaking out about, oh, I don't want to have, extra calories from the fat or whatever. But I'm going to also tell you this, that there's now been some studies that have shown that non-fat milk connected to things like diabetes and health issues, whole milk, far healthier for you. And of course, don't forget the fat soluble vitamins that are in milk require fat to be utilized. So going the non-fat route actually is far worse for you. You're better off with whole milk, or get some like whole fat, Greek yogurt, or whole fat cottage cheese, or if you can't have dairy, can of tuna fish, super fucking easy, and a fruit. Boom, there's your post workout meal.
I wonder
right
what
there.
The stats are on non fat and slim milk over the last 3 to 5 years compared to like the 10 to 15
non-fat milk sales have dropped and whole milk is starting to go up.
Yeah. I would be curious.
I've never given my kids fat-free milk. It's so not good for you.
Always whole milk.
It's like, it's very, very, it's
and
not
I,
healthy.
I grew up on 2%. And then when I first got into training and lifting, then I went to not a slim, which is 1, right? And then I went to non-fat. So for years as a trainer, it was non-fat milk forever.
The healthiest part of milk is the fat
right?
Yeah. That's the funny part. That's the funny part of the whole thing.
It's crazy.
And it tastes fucking amazing anyway. So yeah. So there you go. There's your advice right there. If you want to drink something post-workout, grab yourself a glass of whole milk or eat a can of tuna fish or something like that. If you absolutely have to take protein powder and you just it's just something that you have to have in your nutrition, aim for the organic, non-artificially colored, non-artificially flavored varieties of protein.
And I hope people understand where we're coming from on this. Like I feel like we get misunderstood when we get into these like, you know, battles on Instagram with doctors that are out there.
No, I think we made our point pretty well. I mean, we're not anti-supplement. I mean, we got to be very clear. We're not anti-supplement. We're pro supplements used properly.
Well, we want to use them for deficiencies.
That's it. Supplements have there's definitely a need for supplements. If you have low vitamin D or certain minerals are low, or like Adam was saying, if you're one of those people that, you know, you're just deficient in protein, or, you know, if you're an athlete and you're trying to squeeze out another 0.5% performance because you're training at that level, or something like creatine, which has lots of benefits, especially for vegans, like then that's where supplements, you know, can come into play. But supplements don't replace food, and they probably should not be a staple part of your every single day life unless you're one of those rare individuals.
You're not healthy just because you're eating supplements.
Yeah, and then there are categories of supplements that are complete waste of fucking time, like pre-workout supplements. You can just throw them away completely. So with that being said, we offer 30 days of coaching for free, and it's still available. It's still for free at mindpumpmedia.com. Just go to the site, opt in. You're going to get tons of free information from us, and it gets updated by us, which means you'll always have it and you'll always get it updated. Also, you can find us on Instagram. We answer questions on Instagram all the time. We answer them on air for our Q&A episodes. The Instagram page is Mind Pump Media, or you can find our individual pages. I'm Mind Pump Sal, Justin's Mind Pump Justin, and Adam is Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.